Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by wherever you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to be together midweek, and as you know if you've been with us, we're talking about something that is a reality for so many: abuse in marriage. Yesterday we defined abuse. Perhaps you will remember I said that, simply put, to abuse is to treat another person with cruelty, especially regularly and repeatedly. In the context of marriage, abuse is to treat one's spouse with cruelty regularly and repeatedly. When I use the word abuse, this is what I mean. And then we said that there are several different kinds of abuse. Abuse is not just physical. In fact, for many people who have been abused, bodily harm is not the worst of it. It is the mental drain one takes from a constant verbal assault, when day after day and night after night you have to listen to the put-downs, the insults, the accusations, and the blame, psychological torment. A victim of abuse can quickly become a shell of their true self as their emotional health is gutted by all this constant mistreatment. This must be acknowledged so that you know other forms of abuse beyond bodily harm exist and are as damaging to you if you deal with this. I have literally heard multiple women justify how they are being treated. "Well, he's never hit me," or "he hasn't broken any of my bones yet. At least I haven't been to the emergency room." And I have definitely heard abusers justify their behavior this way, quote, "I have never hit her," or "my husband is not justified in complaining about my language. I have never even hit him. Give me a break. He's a man. I couldn't hurt him even if I tried," end quote. Well, this is a very narrow perspective on what abuse is. Are we really saying that only if someone is physically attacked that abuse has taken place? No. Friends, do not dismiss or excuse other forms of mistreatment. And I gave you the quote of the wife there in that last true scenario because, as we said last time, there are definitely abusive women. It is not that only husbands abuse their wives in marriage. Sometimes, I think now more than ever, women abuse their husbands also. In fact, I'll never forget the time I sat in a restaurant with a friend as he described for me what it was like to defend himself from the glass plates that his wife was hurling through the air at him. Our tendency may be to say, "Well, he must have deserved it." Well, not in this case. My friend was married to an abusive woman. The woman is also our friend. As we talked about people on the receiving end of abuse, we asked, "Does God care?" And we answered emphatically, "Yes, God definitely cares." And I shared with you some scriptures that prove it. But sometimes the response will be, "Well, if God really cares, then he will make all this go away. If I just pray, then God will make him stop. God can do anything, and he will overpower my husband and take away all his rage and calm him down." Or an abused husband may think that if he just does everything to please his abusing wife, if he doesn't entice her, and especially if he has faith that God will intervene and settle her nerves, that all will be well. God is positioned as a sort of magician that says, "Abuse be gone," and poof, it suddenly disappears. While I am not diminishing the value of prayer, I repeat, I am not devaluing prayer. I believe there is something God will have you to do if you are being abused. You have a personal responsibility to take action to protect yourself and to bring your spouse to repentance, that is, to stop sinning against you and God in this way. And so the question is, what should you do? What is the action you can take if you're on the receiving end of abusive behavior? Today I want to talk about the first thing you should do, and that is immediately separate from your abuser. And I do mean immediately, like today. If you are in danger, use your common sense that God gave you and escape from underneath this dominant and controlling person who will continue to lash out at you. And here is something you already know. Something must be done. You cannot continue to live like this. You know you should take action, get up and leave, go to a safe place, but you are dragging your heels. That may be because he or she has threatened you. If you even think of ever leaving me, I promise you I will. What did he say? Kill you? Make your life a living hell? Divorce you? And take the kids? Did he or she say that you'll never see your kids again? Or you may be hesitant to separate because you do not know where to go. To ask a family member or a friend will shame you. You think nobody knows. Maybe you are dependent on your abusive spouse's finances. Or you simply think about the energy it will take to make a change like this, and you're too tired. Maybe you think this time of the year should be a family time, and you do not want to ruin it for your children. It will also be common for you to remember how much you genuinely do love your spouse, despite how he or she acts, and that love compels you to stay. Or you think leaving will just make matters much worse. My friend, is not your personal safety and the well-being and certainly that of your kids at any age worth the separation? God has built us to react to danger by fleeing it. It is important to me that I demonstrate this to you from the Scripture, because without the support of the authority of God, what business do I have advising you to do this? We always want to find justification for all our actions in the Word of God, and here it is. First, when in danger, Jesus separated himself from the danger. Second, when in danger, the Apostle Paul separated himself from the danger. Let's look first at our Lord Jesus and two passages in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 8, verse 59. This is the Gospel according to John, chapter 8 and verse 59. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. There is the danger. The Jews were about to throw stones at the Lord. So what did Jesus do? He hid himself and went out of the temple. I'll grant you Bible scholars out there that there may be a miraculous element to this. But you may well need and receive a miraculous escape from your abusive spouse also. My point is this: Jesus separated himself from immediate danger. He escaped the stone throwing alive and carried on with his life and ministry. John 8, verse 59. And further along in John chapter 10 and verse 39, the Bible says, therefore they were seeking again to seize Jesus, and Jesus eluded their grasp. That's John 10, verse 39. You can read it on your own. Jesus separated himself from immediate danger. Jesus does this until his time had come and he will no longer resist or escape when the time is right for him to go to the cross on which he was crucified, the cross on which he died. When in immediate danger, Jesus separated himself from the danger. And second, when in danger, the Apostle Paul separated himself from the danger. Listen as I read the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. Acts 9, beginning at verse 23, when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. Well, Saul is Paul, same man, and notice that when faced with immediate danger, Paul separated himself from the danger with the help of his disciples. This passage speaks not only to what an abused person in danger should do, but this also speaks to those of us who are friends and family of such a person. Let's help them out of the danger. Look, if you know someone who is living in fear, offer your home for the night, for a week or a month, a place of safety and security. You say, my home is small and full. Okay, pay the hotel bill so this family member or friend can get out of their home and into a safe place. You could literally be saving a life. One of the reasons abusive people thrive is because family and friends stand by and say and do nothing. Oh, we don't want to get involved, do we? Well, what else is family and friendships? What else is the community of the people of God, the church, if we do not do everything we can to put a stop to abuse? It is time for us to stop staying silent. As Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, read yesterday, says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Paul's disciples helped him escape danger. Let us do the same for people we know and love that are in danger. What is the action you can take if you're on the receiving end of abusive behavior? Today I have wanted to talk about the first thing you should do, and that is immediately separate from your abuser. Tomorrow, we will continue with another scripture. So join me then, for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.